Hard to imagine, it's almost been 4 months since we gathered and we celebrated the reduction, the elimination of our debt as a church and what that looked like moving forward. And so I wanted to again this Sunday begin to talk about what it looks like moving forward. So if you join us for the first time, whether you're in here or you're online, you are picking a great Sunday because you're going to get to know more about our church and where we're going, where we're headed, and some important things that I wanted to talk about this morning. So, if you and I were to sit down and have a cup of coffee, which is normally a Crimson Anchor, okay, there's my plug, okay, then we would sit down and you would say, tell me about the church and what's going on and what does the future look like. That's what this would be. That's what I want to share with you this morning. The same thing I would if we were sitting down and have a cup of coffee and talking about what the church looks like. Because really, the last, 18 months have changed quite about everything in the church world and what it looks like and how we move forward. So that's what I'd like to do this morning. So we ended 2020 realizing that we needed to shift some things. We need to begin doing some things different. We need to begin developing leaders and finding leaders for our church, and not only for our church, but for everything that God has called us to do. And that's really how we ended. We said, we got to do something different. And so that's what we began to do, is moving in a new direction. And so this year has been about trying to do that. It's not perfect. It's not going to work perfect all the time. I try to really make sure I understood that, okay? This is not just going to be a one-off and it's going to work and everybody's going to love it. That's not how it works, okay? That's not how any of this works. I wish it would, but it doesn't, okay? There's always naysayers. There's always people behind the scene, okay, dumping water on stuff, on your fires, getting, you're trying to be excited and fired up, and that's just the way it is, okay? That is life. That's the way it is. Fortunately, I think we should know better as followers of Jesus, but we just tend to do that. We tend to put out sometimes excitement and energy that people have about what God is doing. So this year, we've been trying to do that, and I'm going to explain just a little bit about what it's going to look like moving forward. This was the verse, the star of the year. Remember, we challenged you to pick out a verse. I hope you did that. But we chose a verse as a church, and it is, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? From Isaiah chapter 43. That we knew above all that we need to do something new. Because what have I told you for the last 3 weeks before this in another series? If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. I loved it. Somebody put that quote on Facebook. Thank you, Chris. And all sorts of people are like, I think I heard that on this show and this show. Yeah, it's everywhere, okay? You hear that quote quite often because it's so true. We just don't think about it. Hey, if I keep doing what I've always done, I'm just going to always get that results. And so if we as a church just always kept doing the same thing, we're going to end up with the same results. And what we knew we needed was better results and different results. And so we just asked God, show us new things. Show us the new things that we can do. And he is continuing to do that. This is not just a one-off where we say, okay, just for this year, show us something new. After this, God, we're just going to do the same old thing over and over again. No, this is like continual, where we should constantly asking God, what are the new things that you want me to do? How about you in your life? Are you asking God, what are the new things that you want me to do, that you have for me? I want a new adventure. I know you have something new for me, Jesus, and I want to walk in that path and do it. So I hope that that verse isn't just, oh yeah, church, go do it. I'm just going to do what I've always done and just kind of be comfortable in that. No, let's do something new and let's see what adventure God wants to take you on for this year and to continue on. So what's next? That's the question I kind of want to answer this morning. So what is next? Because we've tried some new things. We've tried to adapt some different things. Didn't all work perfectly. It's not going to be a completed project in 1 year, okay? But what are we going to do and what is next being some of the accomplishments? Because one of the huge accomplishments last year was being able to pay off the debts, okay? Because that is just totally changing the way we talk about finances, and we're going to talk about that this morning in a very different way as a church than we've talked about it before, okay? Before we talked about in certain ways, this morning I want to give us a new vision on how we can think about finances as a church. So, what is next? Now, before I do that, I want to read you a verse out of the book of Acts that really helped encourage me in thinking about a new direction. And it's almost like this summary statement in the book of Acts, where it just talks about this church at Antioch. Now, if you want to know anything about the church of Antioch, it's the place they were first called Christians, okay? And they didn't come up with the name. That's the name the community gave them. Oh my goodness, those people over there, I don't know, they're in this thing called a church, I guess. They're just Christers. They're so Christ-like, okay? They're just trying to be like this guy, Jesus, okay? So they came up with this name Christians that we use today, okay? But they didn't give themselves the title. The people in Antioch gave them that title, okay? So here's what we know about that church's summary statements, okay? Now, there were prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch, and it's going to begin to name some, okay? One of these individuals you're going to actually have heard of, probably a couple, and then some of them you're going to be like, I have no idea who that person is, right? Barnabas, okay? And if you've read later in the book of Acts, he appears quite often, okay? Simeon called Niger, Lucius the Syrian, Manan, a close friend to Herod the Tetrarch from childhood, and Saul. You could also just put in there Paul, okay? But at this point, they want to make sure they reference the guy who was persecuting Christians and totally turned his life around and began building churches instead of blowing them up, okay? They want to make sure we understand. He's at the Church of Antioch. He is a teacher. He is a prophet. God has put this team together. Okay, this is really important. If you break these guys down, they're all different backgrounds. They come from different places. They're very, very different, except for one thing they had in common, okay? It is the same thing, by the way, that we have in common here this morning, because we could talk about all the ways we're different. We could talk about all the things that we like, you know, you like this, and I don't like that, and I like this, and you don't like that. The one thing we have in common, his name is Jesus, and we are following Jesus, okay? So here's all these different guys, okay? And they end up in Antioch, and the church is growing, and they're preaching, they're teaching, they're helping people, and all they know is they're really, really different, okay? This last guy, Manan, before it tells us about Saul, what does it say? He was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, okay? Do you know what that means? That means this guy is a high-up person if his childhood friend is the guy who's king, okay? Just going to tell you, he didn't run around with everybody else. So they're all from different backgrounds, and God puts them together in Antioch and sees some amazing things take place. It's because they did it together. They did it as a team. They worked together to see what God was going to accomplish. And later on, out of this group, okay, we went to the next verse, Barnabas and Saul get called out of this group and begin their missionary journeys, planting churches all over the world at that point. So that takes place. But why? They're a team, they're working together, and God blesses that and uses it and does some incredible things in and through it. What you need to know about Antioch, it was a healthy church. It was about outreach, and it was about leading people into a growing relationship with Christ. That's what they were all about, okay? This is a healthy church, outreaching people, leading people in a growing relationship with Christ, doing it as a team, ultimately developing leaders. Ultimately, that's what they were doing. They took, hey, Saul and Barnabas, good, God wants to use you elsewhere, you're out. And Antioch didn't sit there and go, oh, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? We lost Paul and Barnabas. I guess we're done. I guess we'll just close our doors, give up. No, that wasn't their attitude. Hey, who's next? Who's next? Who's next in line? What does God want to do next? Who's the next person that he's going to call and he's going to use? Because that's how we're going to operate. And we're going to be a team, and we're going to work together, and we're going to see what God wants to do. So moving forward, what we've been working on in our leadership group, for those of you who are like, yeah, I know this thing, you talk about this thing that meets, okay, what we've been trying to do, and moving forward, what we're going to try to implement, okay, and it's going to be a building process, is a team approach to the ministries, the outreach, to what God has called us to do as a church. So I want to show you the teams we've identified, okay, that are important for a church to have, are important for our church to have, okay? So here's a list, okay? Worship, important thing, okay? Next generation, we've also called that young life, okay? Discipleship, care, prayer, outreach, facilities. This is pretty simple. There's seven things on this list, okay? And that's what we are now looking at, is how many leaders do we have? How many people who are willing to take leadership of these different things? Now, as a church, we already have two leaders already in place. Cheyenne leads our worship. Ryan leads our young life, next generation. He takes care of that. He provides leadership in that area. So we already have kind of two team leaders, people providing leadership in those areas. These are the other areas we've identified. Now, I would like to stand up and say, hey, we're going to have all the leaders we need. We're going to fill all these. That's just not the way it works. I wish it would. It's a slow rebuild, developing leaders, putting teams together, and seeing what God will do if we have a different approach to how are we going to do ministry and how are we going to be the church that God has called us to be. So asking for a lot of patience as we work on this and begin to implement this and start this next year, trying to see what teams we have, how we can build those, and what it looks like moving forward. But I want you to know, this is kind of the language you're going to hear now around here about the development of teams, about working together as teams, working together to see what God wants to do in these different areas that we've identified are really, really important, okay? For those of you who've been around church before, these are not committees. Don't call them committees, okay? Right? We eliminated that word. It doesn't exist from our vocabulary, okay? We eliminated that because we said, we don't want to think of it that way. We want to think of it as a team where people are going to work together. Someone's going to be responsible. There's the team leader. And doing that, we're going to see the ministries fulfilled that God has called us to do. And we are developing those team leaders out of the leadership group. That's what we've been working on. Is it perfect? Nope. We're going to get all of these this year. I wish. I don't see that happening, but God could blow my mind, and I would absolutely love that. Okay? But that's where we are. That's what it looks like moving forward. And then it doesn't matter if you were in the leadership group or not. We are going to encourage lots of you, okay, to be on teams, to look in these areas and say, oh, where do I think I could provide some help to, or some input to, some getting together and brainstorming and praying together and looking and asking what God wants to do in our church through this. We're going to invite you to be part of a team. Be part of a team and to be part of working together to see what God wants to accomplish. Okay? Each team, and this is really important, each team is going to have a purpose, not a to-do list. Okay? Because this is what we normally do, right? Okay, you have to do these few things. Okay? And then something either is on the list that you don't do anymore, okay? Or something's not on the list that you need to do and gets overlooked. Okay? So instead of going to a list saying, okay, well, what do we normally do? So the example I'm going to give you this morning is facilities. Okay? So we can give a to-do list. That's really easy to do. Okay? Person, the team leader for facilities. Okay? Work days, right? Mowings, snow removal. I hate saying that word. Okay? Those things. Okay? We could give a list, but we might forget something. We might include something. We might do something we don't even have anymore. So we're going to have a purpose statement. Here it is, if you'd like to know, for facilities. Stewarding all God has entrusted to us. You know, that's simple. Yeah, it's supposed to be simple, right? It's supposed to be simple. So what has God entrusted to us? Well, we have this building. We have our student center. okay? We have a what we used to call a bus barn. Somebody's got to come up with a new name because we haven't had a bus in that thing for years and years and years. It's the way it goes, right? You just go by what you've always called it, okay? We have lots of facilities. Close to 3 acres, okay? The house next door. God has blessed us greatly. And so the questions we got to start asking is, how are we doing stewarding those facilities? Are we just letting them run down, or are we doing upkeep? Okay, because all of you in here know who own a home, right? Upkeep is, yeah, it's just fun. Okay, you love having conversations about upkeep. Okay, we don't, but we know it's totally necessary. We know it's totally necessary. And so instead of just, you know, oh, here's your to-do list, and we forget something, we just look at that team and say, guess what we want you to do? Here's what God's entrusted to us. How are we best going to steward it? How are we best going to care for it? How are we best going to do the best we can with what God has given to us? It's a very different way, I know, to think about it. But I'm asking you to join with me in doing something new and thinking about things differently than we've ever thought about them before. Because I think it will totally change the way we think about church. We do church together. We are the church. It would just totally transform that. And that's what the leadership group has been all about and been working on this year and will continue to do and continue to move forward, working on building teams, getting teams together, and working together as teams. We'll move forward with what team leaders we have and continue to rebuild. This is a word you're going to hear quite often, okay? This is rebuild, okay? Most church leaders are using the same language. Rebuild, 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 rebuild. That's what everybody has seemed to be doing since our pandemic started, okay? It's how do we rebuild, how do we rebuild? There are people who are not here anymore that used to be here, okay? Will they come back? I hope so. Some of them have come back sporadically. We hope so, okay? But this is all about rebuilding. This is all about rebuilding and being the church that God has called us to be. Now, let me for a moment talk about finances. Again, in a very different way than what we're used to. This is going to be different. This is going to be different than what you've heard before. The language is going to be different. But the concept you have heard me talk about before. You've heard me say there's three things really you can do with your money. Give, save, spend, right? There's three things you can do with your money, and you can stick everything you have, all your money, into one of those three groups, okay? Am I going to give it? Am I going to save it? Am I going to spend it? And all depends where you are in life, what those percentages look like, and what does it look like for you to do those things? We've talked about it before, okay? I want to this year take that same concept and idea and just apply it to our church and say, now that we're in a different place where we start rethinking finances and rethinking what God has given to us, how do we think about this differently when we think about give, save, spend? Because if we're going to be honest, and we can be honest this morning because this is church, this is a great place to be honest. All we've thought about over the last 2 years is we got to make our payments, we got to pay salaries, we got to keep the lights on, okay? And that's what we've done. And so we have at times just kind of put our fists around things and no, we can't, no, we can't, no, we can't, because we were nervous, we didn't know what winters would be like, we didn't know what gas bills would be like, we didn't know how much of that white stuff we'd have to remove, okay, and how much money that would cost us, all these different things, okay? So we had a tendency to do this, and we wouldn't talk much about any of these things other than we gotta have enough money to make it through, we gotta have enough money to make it through, okay? That's what we used to do. We're throwing out that language, and we're going to give, save, spend. Now, what does that look like? Here's what I want you to consider and think with me about this morning, okay? That we would give 10% to missions both locally and globally. So, let me ask you to think about this, and I will give you a report at the end. What have we been asking you to do for the last 3-4 weeks? Shoeboxes for Haiti, right? Shoeboxes for Haiti, shoebox for Haiti, shoebox for Haiti. Envelopes in the back, because this is how we've done all our giving, okay? Okay? This is how we've done all those things that have come up and have been available to us. This is how we've handled all of those, because we just looked and we said, do we have another option? I don't know. We'll put out envelopes and we'll ask people to give, and we'll set goals and we'll try to accomplish these different things. Okay? This is a very different way to think about that. Very different way. So instead of doing that, okay, at the end of each month, we would take what is given to the church that month, and we would take 10% of that. We take 10% of that, we would move it to our missions outreach, and we would look and see what is available for us to do. And so what we're asking you basically to do now is give once. Give once. Give once to the church and watch what God can do with that. As we take 10% of that every month and see what God will do with that. So there's our money for shoeboxes to Haiti. There's our money when we talk about that we have the opportunity to send school supplies to Belize. That's our money when we want to help in other areas. And like, oh, how do we do this? I guess we send out an email and we ask everybody to give. No, we're going to ask you to give once. And then we're going to see what God does at the end of every month as we take 10% of that and we look for the opportunities that God has given to us. We as a church, we give a little bit. I think we give like $15 a month to the organization we're a part of. It's called ARC, the Association of Related Churches. We do that knowing that every single penny we send to ARC goes into church planning. They are almost, okay, ARC is about 20 years old, and they are almost at 1,000 churches planted. It's amazing. That's just an amazing number when you begin to think about it. And so all of that goes to that. So as we give to them, it all goes to church planting and starting other churches all over the place. It's an incredible thing. What would it look like if we would do that? I think it would be amazing, and I think we would be surprised. If every month I stood up and said, hey, guess what we did this month, Thrive? We gave this, and we did this, and we helped out this. It would be amazing. It would absolutely be amazing. And we want you to give once and watch what God does and takes that and uses that in incredible ways. Okay? Save. So where before we have talked about, and this is an elder board meeting, so I'm going to let you in. We've talked about before how much money should we have in savings. Really, what we're going to do is we're going to develop an emergency fund based on 3 months of expenses. That's what's going to be in our savings, because there are always things that happen, right? There are always things that go wrong when you don't want them to go wrong. Isn't that true? You're right? Hey, you're cruising along, and then that check engine light comes on, right? The washer decides to blow up, and you've got water all over the place, the hot water, whatever it is. Right? And then you're like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? And because most of us at times do not think this way, we are not ready for emergencies. And if you've ever had those heated discussions in your house, okay, over who broke the washer, because nobody broke the washer, they just break, okay, over what? Because we weren't prepared for the emergency that took place. So we're going to be prepared for the emergency that takes place. You need to understand that. We have been prepared, but we're going to think about that savings differently, that we are going to have 3 months ready to go so that anything happens, we are ready to go and be able to do and replace or fix whatever it is that we need to do. The second part of this, okay, and this goes to long-term things. When you have older buildings and they need things because they're approaching, 60 years old, and you're like, oh, they need things, okay? It is to develop a capital improvement fund. We want to begin to do that, to fund, and that fund would steward our facilities for bigger projects and bigger needs that we know need to happen. And before, we just kind of prayed, right? You just prayed the prayer, God, please don't let it break down. Please don't let it break down. Please don't let it go bad, because we just don't know what we're going to do. Well, we want to begin taking what God has given to us and plan better for that. So we are looking forward, and we know, hey, we need to do this and this and this, and these need to be replaced. We've talked about replacing stuff for years and years and years and just didn't know how it was going to happen. It can happen now. We can do this now, and we can do this together. And then we're going to spend, right? We're going to fund our teams. We're going to fund our teams. We're going to fund our salaries. We're going to fund our operating costs. It's amazing when you begin to look that we no longer have a mortgage, the opportunities that it gives us to do that, the opportunities it gives us to be able to take care of the things that we need to take care of. So when we talk to you, when we present to you a budget for next year, I'm just giving you kind of a preview of the things that you are going to see. The things that you're going to see and the things you're going to be like, oh, that's different. Well, I want you to know about them now in advance, that we're thinking about what does it look like to give, save, and spend. Now, I know you're going to have questions. So I want to just first of all say this, and I as clearly as I can, I will meet with anyone who has questions and wants information, okay? I cannot read your mind. Well, Ed should know I want to talk to him. Nope, that doesn't work, okay? You actually have to. You can text me, you can call me, you can send me an email, okay? You can Facebook Messenger me or whatever other way that there is to communicate, okay? And just say, I'd like to talk to you more about this because I want to know what's happening. I'll meet with anyone who wants to do that, any single person, anybody who wants to do that, okay? But because I also realize that some of you want that, but, oh, I don't want to be the only one or whatever, right? Whatever we just start thinking about, I want to also give you two opportunities. Tonight's one of them at 5 o'clock. For our leadership group starts at 6. If you want to come and ask questions, you want more details, I'll tell you everything I know and where we're at and what we're talking about with this. And also then in 2 weeks, October 24th, again, before the leadership group at 5 o'clock, where you can come here, ask any question you want, say, I didn't understand this, what are you talking about, or how do I get involved, or what is this going to look like? Come and ask questions. You don't want to come one of those times, you can't come one of those times, again, call me, email me, text me, let me know, because I'd be happy to sit down with you and talk with you about this. But this was my big opportunity to say, here's what it looks like, here's where we're heading as a church, here's where God's taking us, and just ask you to pray with me about this. These are exciting days ahead. God is doing new things, and we get to partner with him in doing those things. He is doing some incredible things in our community that are just starting, and there'll be more details to share about community-wide things that are going to be opportunities for our church that are exciting as well. This is where we're headed. This is where God wants to take us. So, I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning, because this was a lot, I know. I just dumped a lot on you this morning, stuff I've been thinking about for a long time and processing and working through. And I want you to be excited as I am about where God can take us, what God can do in and through us, and how different things could be doing things a brand new way. So let's pray together, and then we'll worship one more time. Heavenly Father, I know that was a huge information dump with a lot of stuff. I pray, Father, people caught just a little bit of the excitement of the new thing you want to do here. In this season of rebuilding, in this season of moving forward. And Father, I know there are a lot of questions. I would just pray that you would help people to be honest about the questions they have and come and ask them. Whether it's tonight, whether it's one-on-one, just come and ask them. There are no secrets. There are no hidden agendas. We are trying to move forward, Father, pleasing you and letting this church, your church, be a light in our community. Because we want to see all people thrive. We want to see everybody in these doors, everybody watching online. We want to see them thrive. And see what you would do in our lives if we would just give you control and make you the Lord and master of our lives. So, Father, I just pray you'd help us to think about what's our role. What is my role? What are you calling me to do? Here at Thrive, in the future that you are setting forth and creating for us. And so, Father, as we worship you one more time, I pray we'd lift our voice in just praise for all that you are doing in and through us, that you would continue to do that, you would continue to work in a powerful way, and we would just continue to be there, teaming with you, watching the great things that you want to do. Father, work and move in our midst, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.